This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Alabama beats Tennessee 45-7. Their performance was obvious, but to get inside of the Crimson Tide, we go to TiderInsider.com on the Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline, and that means Rodney Orr. Good morning, Rodney. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Barry. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I've got a proposal here. I want to say that the next time or the first time a defensive back tackles Henry Ruggs on the field of play, on a scrimmage play, they just need to go ahead and stop play and give whoever that is the game ball, because it hasn't happened yet this year. That's been amazing.
Is Montgomery proud of Henry Ruggs III?
I've never seen anything like it, Rodney. Yeah. I mean, six catches, six touchdowns, am I right?
Well, Barry, it would be six. Hate to say it. He dropped the one in the end zone, as you remember from Hurts a few weeks ago. That's about the only mistake he's made. Of course, he did have a couple of muffs on punts. But, he has been fantastic. There's no question about that. I think a lot of people realized last year when he was being recruited that he was vastly underrated. And he's come in here and done a fantastic job, and he's going to be a really great player, and he's already pretty good.
Rodney, if I hadn't already seen the Alabama-Vanderbilt game, I would have been thunderstruck by the numbers out of Alabama's win against Tennessee and that historic rivalry. And we made the point earlier, I want to see if you agree with this, and it's not a slam at Alabama. When Alabama has 35 first downs to Tennessee's 7, they run 40 more plays than Tennessee does, and they rush for more than 200 yards more than Tennessee does. Tennessee is a program that should never be that dominated to that extent by anybody. It was a huge win for Alabama, but boy, Tennessee has got some problems.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you have to look at it and be honest with it. I think that's a great point. You know, and I'll say this, and I know a lot of people don't like to hear it, but the truth is that, you know, some of these teams that Alabama has played in the SEC and have been down. You know, obviously Ole Miss isn't what they have been in recent years. You know, we saw the same thing from Arkansas. They're probably not as good as what they have been. They're probably down a little bit. And then, you know, Tennessee's certainly down dramatically from where you would expect them to be. So those teams have a lot of issues. But I think Alabama's, at the same time, they've played on a very high level. You have to certainly recognize that. But the real competition in terms of difficulty is yet to come. And, you know, it starts with LSU on November the 4th.
I think that's absolutely fair. One lingering thought about the Tennessee game. Fans are looking and trying to pick the game apart and to rehash it. Was there anything that really stuck out at you? I mean, I like Tagovailoa and the way he performed. They got him a lot of snaps. But other than that, anything really just sort of jump out about that game, any aspect of it, Rodney?
Well, since you brought up Tua, I mean, quite honestly, I thought there was a different energy in the second half. Of course, now Jalen took him down and right away and scored that touchdown. So certainly give him credit, too. But I just felt like there was a different energy in the second half. Alabama, to be honest with you, it was not a very good first half offensively. I thought it was flat, no energy that I could detect. A couple of Tennessee penalties certainly helped Alabama to extend their lead when it was a really close game. But I do think in the second half you felt a different energy. I thought Tua did a great job when he got in there. Obviously, he had the interception return for a touchdown, but I think that's a great learning experience for him. Otherwise, if you talk to people that around here, close to the football complex, they'll tell you that he pitched a pretty perfect game when he was in there. Again, I think Jalen did a nice job, too. He made some great throws down the middle. Didn't see him run as much, but I thought he did a nice job throwing the ball at times.
So now Alabama, again, they I don't want to say coast through the first part of the season, because there were certainly a couple of standard tests in there, but as we come to the bye week for the Crimson Tide. And this is, you know, this week of practice is not leading up to a game. Next week is. What do you think the focus is for the last several days of the bye week practices, Rodney?
Well, they're going to wrap up today. So I think, you know, really they've worked kind of probably more a lot, quite a bit on fundamentals and, you know, working on getting some guys healed up and rested, you know, some bumps and bruises and those types of things. And you know, Nick Saban has said, you know, our focus right now is improving in every area that, you know, they've identified that needed improvement. So I think that's really just been the focus, brushing up on some things. Yesterday at practice, though, we only had a brief time. You could tell that, for example, the outside linebackers, Tosh Lapoy was doing a lot of, you know, working on techniques and kind of, like I said, brushing up things. But I think that's the real focus. And I think, too, that now with after today, you know, the players can kind of, I think sometimes it's good to get football off your mind for a couple of days, relax, and then get back in the groove here early on Sunday.
Deshaun Hand, I think this maybe is a big week for him. Hurt his knee against Ole Miss. He's out there at least, you know, stretching and moving around a little bit at practice, isn't he?
Yeah, he was moving around yesterday. Actually, he was dressed out. He was in a black jersey, which, of course, means non-contact. He can't be hit.
Right.
But he was participating in full pads. He was participating in the drills that they were doing. He was wearing a brace, you know, so on that knee. So, but he was moving, seemed to be moving okay. I think the general feeling is that he will play against LSU on November 4th. But, you know, again, they've developed some good depth, so it's not like he'll have to step right in, Barry, and, you know, kind of pick up where he left off. I mean, you can kind of work him in and, you know, more of a depth-type thing right now. And then eventually, you know, he could probably play more and more. But they've developed some of these guys. You know, Isaiah Bugs has really stepped up on the defensive line. LeBryan Ray, the true freshman. Quentin Williams has played and done a nice job. We've just seen a lot of young guys kind of step up there.
You've brought up the point before, more than once, about the level of competition that's evident at every position. I mean, there are some clear-cut starters, obviously, but everybody's competing all the time. I asked this question in the last hour of Gene Stallings, with Alabama having looked so good so far and, you know, having you know, all these accolades. They're the unanimous number one pick from the AP, unanimous number one pick in the coaches' poll. Whether complacency would be something you would have to guard against, given the tone of the season so far. And he pointed to the level of competition out there as being a real safeguard against complacency, because, I mean, everybody is competing against everybody else every day. Does that resonate with you, Rodney?
Well, I think so, and I think that's what Nick Saban, that's one of his, you know, points that he's stressing right now is, you know, we've finished through the first eight games, but now we're approaching the stretch run, and this is what determines, you know, who we will become, how we will be remembered as this team, the 2017 team, and I think that's one of the things they're hammering home. You've got your three best opponents probably in the SEC coming up, with LSU and then followed by a road trip to Mississippi State. And then you have to go down to Auburn. And that is going to be one of the, it could be, you know, let's see how Auburn and Alabama both kind of finish out here. But, you know, that atmosphere could be through the roof. I mean, it could be something that we haven't seen in many years down there if both these teams kind of finish out strong and so forth. So you've got some big challenges facing you. And I think certainly that's something that the coaching staff, and you know Nick Saban, he's certainly pounding that home daily to these guys that, you know, this is what we have to be prepared for. You know, I don't want to say the easy part's over with, but it certainly the tough part lies ahead.
With the, you know, with the historic rivalry against Tennessee taking place this past weekend in Tuscaloosa, I can imagine it was an optimum opportunity for recruiting. Can you give us a thumbnail sketch, not just of the weekend in recruiting, but of Alabama's approach so far with the December signing period approaching?
Yeah, that's a great question, Barry. I mean, I know a lot of Alabama fans, we get it all the time. Why is Alabama ranked 20th or whatever they are by some of these services? And I honestly don't even know what they're ranked right now. But Listen, Alabama's going to finish extremely well. I don't think there's any question about that. In fact, I really expect them to pick up a commitment fairly soon, possibly, from Emil Ekior, who's been committed to Michigan, an offensive lineman, maybe the top center prospect, center guard type prospect in the country. He ranks very highly, and I think he's an outstanding player out of Indianapolis, Indiana, been committed to Michigan for a while. So I'd keep my eye on him. Panay Sewell is another outstanding offensive lineman, top prospect in the state of Utah, 6'5", 350. He's been here on a visit, was here last weekend with his family on an official visit that went extremely well. He's been here before, too, was here back in the summer. So those are two guys on the offensive line. Dominic Wood Anderson, you know, he committed to Texas. He's one of the outstanding junior college tight ends in the country, maybe the best. And to be honest with you, a lot of people compare him in some ways to O.J. Howard. He's got that kind of ability. He's another really outstanding player that recently decommitted from Texas. Keep an eye on him. You know, wide receiver, Jalen Waddle, this guy out of the Houston area that is a dynamic player. I mean, you were talking about Ruggs. This guy has some David Palmer, a little bit of Amari Cooper in him in terms of his acceleration. I'd keep an eye on him as well. Quarterback, a lot of people want to know, Alabama fans constantly asking, will we take a quarterback in this class? And, yeah, it looks like Emory Jones is a guy there's kind of zeroing in right now on Barry, out of Georgia, who is committed to Ohio State. Keep an eye on him. Some defensive players. I think, obviously, defensive line is a big part of this recruiting class Alabama has to fill. Bobby Brown is a big name to keep an eye on. He made an official visit this past weekend with his mother. Everything went extremely well. Alabama had been considered the leader, but Texas A&M's made a strong push. He visits there this weekend and is going to announce his decision next week. So I think that's a big announcement as far as Alabama's concerned. And, you know, they continue to recruit several other defensive linemen. The secondary is another key spot. You know, they've got to get some corners. Right now they have Jalen Armour-Davis committed out of Mobile St. Paul's, a tremendous player. Savion Smith, former LSU commit. Actually a former LSU player. He was a five-star signing a couple of years ago out of Florida. He's in junior college now. I think he'll end up at Alabama as a corner. And Nadab Joseph, a former LSU commit out of Hialeah, Florida, an outstanding player to play safety or corner, Barry. I think that's a guy to keep an eye on. They're really trying to make a push on Tyson Campbell out of Plantation, Florida. I'd keep an eye on him and his teammate Patrick Surtain. Those are a couple of guys. Josh Jobe is another secondary player that they're strongly in the mix with. So you kind of get the drift. They're in on a lot of really good players. It's just a matter of who they end up with.
I'm telling you, TiderInsider.com produces quality information like this all the time. Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. With all of the information that you've just provided, just the tip of the iceberg, how do people make sure they don't miss any of the information that you've got on the website at TiderInsider.com?
Well, Barry, it's as you mentioned, TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year. That's just $4 a month. You can get instant access with your credit card right now, or if you prefer, there's an address to send a check. Now, remember, it's not just the information that we provide, which is on the front page, but it's also our forums, especially our all-sports forum. There's a ton of Alabama fans, obviously, discussing and sharing opinions, and we share information there as well. It's really interesting, keeps things rolling throughout the year there at TiderInsider.com. Again, it's only $48 a year.
And it's a great value for sure. Go and check them out. Rodney, as always, a quality visit, great information, and we enjoy passing the time with you. Thanks a bunch.
Appreciate it, Barry.